Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Mare Nostrum Empires. And I have one of the masterminds behind the game. I'm going to say your name wrong already. Uva, right?
Dang, right on the first try.
Nice. So we joked about his name earlier, and I totally butchered it, but at least I got it right when we were recording.
I warned him if he would have done it on air, it would have been ugly. It would have been ugly.
I know. He would have just been like, I don't like you anymore. I'm just ending it right here. So thanks for being on the show today. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm really excited to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe about your company, Academy Games.
Sure. I'm the founder of Kicks with Bricks, of course, as most of you know. And oh, no, that's you. Sorry about that. I've got to get back in my role here. I started Academy Games about 7 years ago. And we first wanted to get into the school markets, teaching kids. We had some great games all lined up on chemistry and different games like that. And we found out that the American school market is very fragmented, very difficult to penetrate. So instead, yeah, we went and designed some war games, tactical training games, worked with a lot of Army officers, Marine Corps. And these games are being used as training games throughout our system and also other governments. And so we went from there, had great success with it. Nothing like, German guys building up war games. It seemed like a natural, We're all like, good at war games and good engineers. So
there you go.
All I'm really good at is drinking some beers on a Friday night with friends. But hey, take what we can.
That's right.
So,
and this isn't your first rodeo to Kickstarter, is it?
No. First of all, we did all these games and had quite a bit of success, but the market was so difficult because we went through full distribution, and there's not really a lot of margin. There's not a lot of profit in games, and by the time you're done with the printing and your time and your costs and the royalties, and the shipping and keeping the lights on, it's hard to stay in business because, if a game sells for $10, you're lucky after going through full distribution of getting $3.50 of it. And that $3.50, you've got to do the development. You have to do all the printing costs, the shipping from the printer, shipping to the clients, paying for your computer, not only the software, but the hardware and everything else. So it's difficult. And the other $6.50 goes into the distribution network, to the wholesalers, to the reps, to the stores. So it's a tough thing. So we decided then about 2.5 years ago to give Kickstarter a try. And it was a heaven sent because all of a sudden we didn't have to tie up our money 9 months before it hit the market by going to the printer and paying them for dies, mold costs, prepayments. And then we didn't have to wait another 4 months after it was printed till the dealers and distributors decided to pay you because, of course, when you sell games to the wholesale market, it seems that most of the wholesalers think, they say net 15 days. Yeah, that means 60 days. So it's tough. It's very difficult. And a lot of people that go into Kickstarter, they think, oh man, I got all this money on Kickstarter, but they don't have then a plan on how to proceed after Kickstarter's over. Because Kickstarter will get you some seed money and get your project going, but it's not going to pay your bills in the long term, and it's not going to make your wife or your girlfriend happy.
There you go.
So it's pretty tough. So we decided to go on Kickstarter and kind of integrate it with our stores, brick and mortar stores, and our full distribution afterwards. And it was pretty successful. The first time we did was with our 1775 Rebellion, which we did maybe $49,000. It was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Then we came out with Freedom the Underground Railroad, which is a cooperative game on the abolitionist movement between 1800 and 1865. And you think, how successful could that be? But we then did a little over 70,000 on that one. It did very well in distribution. And now it's going into being offered to all the school systems across the United States, has books written on it, how to use it in the classroom. We have some incredible good deals going on with the major distributors into the library systems and the school systems now. So that really helped us and got us catapulted. And then we started figuring out how to market for Kickstarter.
Yeah, last year, I mean, you had a huge Kickstarter success with a
funny... Yeah, here we have a game about the medieval France, you know, where everybody plays different families in the French Empire trying to get ecclesiastic and royal titles. A wonderful, fun game, but it's a deeper Euro game, and it has a big backstabbing factor. And again, it was one of those things, how could it do? But we really stepped up our marketing, and we did a little over 400,000 with another 200,000 add-ons, which was phenomenal. And now with this one, we refined it even a little more. We still have a few days to go, and it shows me here we're over now a 500,000. So it's
yeah, and it's still going up. I mean, I just saw it go up some more funding, and you guys have like almost 6,000 backers along with that. That's awesome.
You know, and that's so phenomenal for a little company like ours, because, you know, everybody thinks Academy Games is a huge company, and it isn't. You know, we're a few engineers. We're all weirdly all masters, engineering masters or biology masters. And so
that are making these epic tabletop games.
Yeah. You know, it is a little weird how your life changes, because, you know, I'm a metallurgical engineer who specializes in, you know, electronic systems and consumer plastic goods systems. And, you know, Gunther's a biomedical engineer who's incredible with DNA manipulation, has quite a few patents going through on DNA, and also for people with sight deficiencies. Ashley's a biology major who's just incredible to talk to. Kari's a civil engineer. So it's like we have all these weird people with diverse backgrounds who love games. But I think one thing that may distinguish us because of our backgrounds is we're very systematic. We're very process-oriented. And that really helps us. You know, if you have a very, very process-oriented and very regimented team, it really helps, because we're all very good of being paranoid and not sleeping at night. Well, something's not done.
There you go. Well, as you said, as we're recording the show right now, there's 3 days left to go on the Kickstarter. It's going to be ending on July 6th. And yeah, you guys are phenomenally successfully funded. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's people say, why don't you get excited? Because I always think of all the work that is required to keep everybody happy after a funding. And the more you have, it seems the more people have questions. And so
you can never keep everybody happy. And that's the thing.
Well, you know what, though? Our goal is that everybody, we do have to keep everybody happy, because the customer is always right. And no matter what, you have to make the customer happy. And it's the internet age has really changed marketing, and it's changed sales, and it's changed how companies have to act and react. And I think America is really leading that front, because a lot of foreign companies, they really don't understand and don't really cater to the customers like the American companies do. And I think that's why a lot of the American companies are as successful as they are and growing the way they are.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not the brand telling people what the brand's about. It's what the people are telling people what the brand is about.
Ooh, I like that. So, can I use that? I'm writing it down.
Go for it.
By Barry.
So, yeah, I mean, as companies, you could tell people who you are, what you do, all you want, but it eventually comes down to, you know, what are the people saying? Like, you know, like you said, on social media and the internet, those are where people go to find out about companies. People don't go generally directly to the companies anymore.
And so, you know, what's frustrating, and especially like, you know, you go and like, even if you go into the comments of Mare Nostrum, we have 5,600 now, almost 5,700 backers. And they're like three guys on there for the last 4 weeks have been totally negative and surreptitiously always mentioning another game that's on at the same time. And
gotcha.
They're negative, 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 never say a nice thing. And it's so frustrating, but you can't counter that. You can't come on and say, hey, listen, why are you being this way? We're answering all your concerns and questions. And once we try to cater to one thing, they just bring up another thing and saying, oh, it's not as good as that game. Check out that game. Oh, it's not as, and that is, sometimes you think, is it done on purpose? Because it was even worse at the beginning. And then all these people, you know, kind of fell out. And it's weird. They never have full names. It's just like Tom or Joe, you know, it's never
Bob.
So it can be frustrating. And again, these customers, you have to treat them like, yep, the customer's always right. So it's a lot of long hours, no vacations during a Kickstarter, and it drains you. It really drains you. So if anybody out there is thinking about doing a Kickstarter, your game is important. Having an incredible video is important. But
yes,
then the real work starts when the campaign starts.
It's all about marketing yourself.
Marketing is one thing, but then also answering questions without, you know, making the issue worse. And
yeah,
it's a fine line.
Customer relations.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So, well, I mean, that's it can be frustrating, but you know, especially with how successful your Kickstarter is right now. I mean, that adds so much more elements to the game because you're reaching all these stretch goals, so you're adding all these new elements to the game and keep on adding things, and so you have to, you know, keep on tweaking and everything like that. So, I mean, people always talk about the sorrow and the pains that come with something that's unsuccessful or failing at something, but not often enough do people talk about, you know, the pains and the stress that comes with success as well.
Well, you know what? Successful pain feels a lot better.
And that's true. Successful pain and sorrow and stress is better than failure pain, but it's still, let alone it's still stress. But, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Mare Nostrum, what it is, the feeling of the game, and what they can expect.
Well, Mare Nostrum is an empire game. It is a pure, beautiful Euro game. And it was a very, very successful French language game a little over a decade ago, about 14 years ago it came out, early 2000s, or maybe even the late 1990s. And it was really a game of like civilization expansion and really concentrated on military takeover of your neighbors. Then we started, took control of it with Olivier Chanry from Asynchron Games. And we really turned the game around, modernized it, and gave it the multifaceted and the multi-layers that players expect of a very good classic game. So now players can try to win through trade and commerce, or they can go a totally different route and try to win through culture and religion and politics, or they can try to go through, again, the military conquest. And the fourth way is that they can just go after and try to build the Great Pyramids. And the Great Pyramids, yeah, granted, they used to be in Egypt, but to make it easy, if any of the great empires build the Great Pyramids, you instantly win the game. So it is now a game where you can play many different ways. You can have an entire game going where nobody ever attacks anybody else, and it's all really manipulation of how you're trading resources, which resource you took over, how you expanded your caravan and trade routes, what heroes and wonders you've recruited and built. So it's a really incredibly fun game that I think will sit very well for a very broad range of Euro gamers. It brings great social interaction. It does not have the backstabbing that our previous game did, FIFA France 1429. This is much more where, yeah, you can talk with each other, make deals, say, hey, listen, leave me alone here. Give me this province, and I'll let you have this province. But it isn't the backstabbing of FIFA. Excuse me, I just had a big Chinese lunch, and
it's catching up with
I'm
you.
I'm experiencing it again. So the Mare Nostrum, then, with all the stretch goals, and we did a little different this time than the previous game. With FIFA, it totally blew us away. We were so unprepared for the success of FIFA. You know, we thought, man, if we hit 100,000, that'll be phenomenal. And then we hit 125 and 140, 150, 200,000. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, we have to get these stretch goals. And we had expansions already planned, but they were not fully developed the way they could have been because we weren't expecting this. We thought, okay, we're going to publish FIFA, and then 6 months later, we're going to come out with an expansion for this game. Well, yeah. All of a sudden, we had to give those expansions free as stretch goals. So in the last year, while we developed FIFA and got it out the door, we've been working like crazy on Mare Nostrum. And we said, you know what? We're going to pretend like we will be very successful with Mare Nostrum also. And let's say we hope we hit 250 or 300,000. So we will plan and have everything done, everything ready, so that if we do have great success and we hit all these stretch goals, it's not going to be months of trying to develop, refine, and make sure that these stretch goals are ready for the market. We're going to have everything ready beforehand. If we do not hit these stretch goals for the Kickstarter, we will...
Then they could be an expansion.
Exactly. And we will have this expansion. We're going to publish it as the Atlantis expansion. And you're actually the first person who I've discussed this with. You know, I've been interviewed with other people, and this never came up, that how much do you plan for success? And if you don't hit it, what do?
Exactly. Well, and it's one of those... You know, like you said, with FIFA, it's just you had so much success and then you're like, oh, then that extra stress comes on. So the stress of success,
right,
where you're like, oh, we have to do this. We have to get these stretch goals. We have to plan for that.
And this campaign has been wonderful. It has been very smooth, very clean. The only things that change, and people go, why do you go with 45 instead of 40-day campaigns? Because we listen to what a lot of the fans say, and while the campaign is going on, we try to implement their suggestions. So as you'll see, we just yesterday put on add-ons for entire building sets. We put on add-on again. People requested, hey, we like the big maps. So we got out, quoted, and got incredibly good deal on a very high quality, those rubber sheet with really high-tech fiber printed material on top of it. I like your really high-end, like, mouse pads. And it's a huge map. This thing is, I think, 1,400 millimeters by 700 millimeters.
712.
Almost 5 feet by whatever, almost, you know, 29 inches.
Yeah, that's really – and that's something you could roll
you
up.
You can roll up.
So that's nice.
Right. It's heavy as sin. Just it always lays flat. It doesn't wrinkle. We folded them up and put a heavy stack of books on it for 2 days. You take them off, laid out, and it just goes flat again.
That's
and
awesome.
For us, normally that would retail for around $100, but because of Kickstarter, we can offer it for $50, and we would have never even dreamed of doing this. But now, because of what the fans said they wanted it, we're offering it.
Yeah,
and we've seen quite a bit of a success in ordering for this over the last 2 days. So,
It's definitely something that I would think would add a great element to the game myself.
Oh, super! Well, I'll put you down for five of them then. And
there you go.
Barry for bricks, five.
Five.
You
maps.
Have a
there
deal at $49.99 instead of $50.
Oh, thanks. So, With Mare Nostrum, I mean, there are very lots of components involved, lots of strategy. So in my mind, and to some of our listeners who are, you know, beginner gamers and stuff, this is probably not what people would call a gateway game.
I disagree. It is much more gateway game than any other game because there are not many components. So in this game, it's really a game where you collect your resources. And as you expand and you build your trade, your caravans, you get more resources. Then you get to trade these resources with other players. Then you get to build new buildings. And then the next turn starts. So all players have to really learn is caravans get you more resources. Buildings get you more tax income. If you build a temple, it doubles your tax income. And if you build markets, it doubles your resource income. Those are the only real components in the game. Now, to move around, you have boats, your triremes, and your legions. That's it. So it's not difficult. Where people do have a problem, though, is that there's so many different ways to win. And gotcha. That could give a new player difficulty. But if you tell the new player, listen, as a new player, just try expansion. Try the standard easy military route.
Try one thing first and then expand when you play
again. Exactly. Now, a big thing that we changed also, we got rid of so many, the original game, we got rid of so many of these exemption rules. We got rid of this step by step. You can do anything now and it's very quick. Let's say you want to expand into a neighboring province that's just sitting there open. All in the same turn, you can buy a control marker or influence marker and put it in that province, then immediately build a caravan and, let's say, build a fort to protect yourself. And you can do it all at the same time. In the old game, first you had to do one thing and then wait another round and then do another. Got rid of all that. And then on top of that now, you can build heroes and wonders. And in the old game, you had like 19 heroes and wonders you had to keep track of, and each one did a different thing. And for new players, that was very difficult. Now, there are only 5 of these showing, and the rest are face down. So if one person buys one of these 5 heroes or wonders, then a new one gets shown. So again, for new players, I only have to worry about 5 different heroes and wonders, and there's a big symbol on the top that tells me what they do, what advantages I get out of them. So we've really simplified and streamlined the game from the mechanics, but then we have put a lot of strategy and tactics into all the different ways you can proceed. Now, the Kickstarter, when we do stretch goals, we don't do just, you get another figure or another card type stretch goal. We really try to make it that the game expands in our stretch goals. And so I am so excited because 3 of our really key expansions that's going to be part of our Atlantis box, it includes the Syracuse expansion, the Jerusalem expansion, and the Troy expansion. And for example, if you as a group of players decide, hey, we're going to play with the Syracuse expansion, that's almost all trade and commerce. And then the entire game takes on a trade and commerce feel, because now that introduces trade and commerce objectives. And when you reach these objectives, it gives you special abilities. And so the game all of a sudden turns into a trading game. If you go with the Jerusalem expansion, it brings in culture, politics, and religion. And all of a sudden it becomes, again, a totally different feeling game with no new rules, but this whole different slant. Or if you go Troy, it's almost pure military. The fun thing is you can even mix these different expansions up and always get a different feeling game. So is it an entry game like Pogo the Penguin? No. Is it much more difficult than Settlers of Catan? Mechanically not, but strategically yes.
Gotcha. Well, that's great information to know for me and for others. So me, myself, of course, I'm not daunted by the task of conquering this game, but I know that some of our listeners are new to the whole tabletop area, and so it's good to know what they can sink their teeth in right away. And so that's good to know that they can be able to get this game, back it, and understand that, like, oh, I, you know, just build myself up, and I'll be able to know and understand everything within a few games.
Right, and you know, if your backers like anything about the Greeks or the Romans or the Egyptians or Babylonians, you know, it just gives them that feel, and they can play those empires, and you really get a feeling because you have the Babylonian leaders and gods and heroes on your side, or you can go. And now with the expansion, the sixth player, we actually added Atlantis, and it adds a mythical feature to the game. So it really, with mythical creatures and the minotaurs and the mermen, and so it really gives you a for people who are new to games but may have interest that they play fantasy games or LARPs or just like walking around the house with fairy wings on, it's a fun game.
There you go. Well, I mean, this is fantastic, and it's really exciting, and I'm glad for the success that you guys have had. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can find out more about your company or more about Mare Nostrum?
Well, thank you very much. Our company is academygames.com, just academygames.com, and we currently have the Kickstarter. I don't know when this is going to be published, but the Kickstarter is going to go through the 4th of July weekend until Monday evening. And even if you miss the Kickstarter, we're going to be using one of these services that then still allow, it'll cost a little more, but you can still pledge and get all the stretch goals. One of the big things that we do a little different is all these stretch goals that I told you about, these expansions will go into an expansion box called the Atlantis expansion box. It will be, if any are still remaining after the Kickstarter campaign, they will be available for sale for $50 in addition to the base game, which is $75. So if people pledge now, they're getting for $65, which later they can get for $125 if they're lucky. Because we are not, they're not going to go through general distribution. So these expansion boxes are going to be available through Kickstarter and only through brick and mortars who are telling us now during the Kickstarter campaign that they want to participate and get these games in.
Good. So everyone make sure that you back the project. You still have 3 days, and the episode will come out right after we're done here.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You had a lot of interesting comments, some that we haven't heard on the show before. So that was lots of fun. And, yeah, thank you, and good luck to, you know, the rest of your Kickstarter, and I'm sure we'll see more from you, and good luck to everything in the future.
Well, I appreciate that, and you probably think it's the end of the show, but as you bring this up, we have a really good Kickstarter coming out after this one called The Viking Invasions of England, which is all done. We're just waiting till this one's over and giving it a month's time, so then we can ease into this next one. And Mare Nostrum will be shipping in October. And hopefully we'll have Vikings shipping before the end of the year. So we have a lot of good things. And now we're known for historical military training games and historical games. But we also have some incredible science fiction games coming through, which will be running under our sister company, Apollo Games. So we have a lot of exciting stuff. So now I'm sorry for stepping on the ending.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we'll definitely have to have you come back on the show and talk about those Kickstarters when they're live, for sure.
Well, I appreciate it, Barry.
Yeah. And thanks to Dan Patrice for our intro and outro. And you can find him at thegeekallstars.com. He is Dan, the board game man. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.